I want to recap 2 seconds what we learned last week to build on this week. What we came out last week was as follows, just literally in 3 sentences. Definition of emet and sheker is not defined by the words you use. We're not as interested in the words as but the message you're trying to convey. If you're conveying something which is true, it's emet. If I'm conveying something which is false, it's sheker. Even if I use words which were true, I conveyed something false, it's sheker. Use words which were false, I conveyed something true, it's emet. Right? That's what we came out last week. You can't say, no, but I didn't say that. I don't care what you said, right? What did you make me understand? You just lied, right? That's clear. However, there are situations where you can say words which are not true, which may convey something which is not true. When is that? You need 2 conditions. Number one, the lie that I am saying is inconsequential. It has absolutely no meaning. It's not going to hurt anybody. It's not going to damage anybody. I'm not lying. It's a meaningless lie. Right? And it has to be for the sake of a mitzvah or for the sake of peace, of shalom, or for the sake of derech eretz. So it has to be, number one, inconsequential lie, a lie that has no meaning. Whether I went shopping last night or didn't go shopping is relevant, right? Or something like that. And it has to be for the sake of peace. And we learned last week, it's not that I'm allowed to lie in that situation. When I'm struck between 2 choices, saying words which are false, or creating machloket, creating an argument, what is true? True is to have shalom. So it's not that I'm allowed to lie, but in reality what I'm saying is emet. It's true. Because the truth is we should have peace between husband and wife. Am I me telling her something which it's irrelevant? But I can, right? She doesn't have to know. Like Akalosh Baruch Hu tells Sarah vani zakanti. Right? Sarah says she's old. Instead of saying that Abraham is old. It's inconsequential. It makes a difference. He's old, she's old. Who cares? It's an inconsequential lie. For the sake of having marital harmony between Abraham and Sarah. That's the klal. So far, so good? Okay. But if it's a consequential lie, if it's a lie that has actually meaning, for sure it's asur. Right, let me give you an example. Just to recap. So the teacher asks you, did you do your homework? Right? All little kids, did you do your homework? Right, guys? The teacher asks you in class, did you do your homework? Honor system, did you do your homework? Now, you don't want to make the teacher feel bad, right? You don't want to make the teacher feel bad. Tell her, I don't do your homework, like you don't care about me, right? You don't want to make the teacher. So you're doing this just to have peace between you and the teacher. You don't want to feel bad. And you say to her, you know what? I did my homework. I did my homework. She doesn't feel I'm just blowing off her class. Did I just lie or am I allowed to do that?
Lie.
Why did I lie?
Because you lie.
It's too true.
But I want to have peace. I want to have shalom here. She's going to get hurt.
The relationship between what? The teacher is not that she's
fault. Yeah.
Right. It's not an inconsequential
lie.
Oh. It's not an inconsequential lie. I have a responsibility to do homework.
Yeah.
Right? That's part of my job. So I can't just... No responsibility. I can get myself out of everything. For the sake of peace, I can get myself out of everything. You have responsibilities to do homework. And it's consequences. It's a consequential. You can't just make up something. For the sake of peace. You're right. Your teacher may be hurt that you blew off her class. And you couldn't care less about her class. You're right. She'll be hurt. But if you really feel bad for her, do your homework. Right?
You don't care about the teacher. You don't care about
that's yourself. True, too. But that's a consequence, right?
If you worry not to get punishment in our life, is that a different type of life?
What?
If you more worry about yourself...
Yeah, that's for sure, Sheker. There's not even shalom there, right? That's for sure, Sheker. Right? That's for sure, Sheker. Okay, now let's get to our discussion today. But the question is, we said you need an inconsequential lie for the sake of shalom or for the sake of a mitzvah or something like that. Now the question is, how about to get my money back. Or to save myself money. Right? So we had a few examples. So for example, case number one, I'm running away. There's a bunch of bandits running after me to steal my wallet. I'm running for my life. Right? And I have to cross a river, and this guy's got a boat there. That's his job. He crosses Pico back and forth. And he charges $10 to go across the river. He sees me, he sees these guys chasing after me. We can make some money here. So he says, okay, you, $100 to cross. And you're like, you're stuck. These guys are coming after you. You need to cross. You say, okay, I'll give you the $100. Just cross me. You get to the other side. Thank you very much. Here's $10. He takes me to Bedin. He promised me $100. He's only giving me $10. The halacha is, all he gets is $10. Why? I lied to him. Why do I get $10?
Under duress, you're allowed to lie.
Under duress, you're allowed to lie.
On certain ways, at that time, yeah.
You're never allowed to lie. Midvash shekhet
hilchak. Somebody was trying to take advantage of you. Somebody was trying to take advantage of you.
Price gouging. No, that's a price.
Okay. So good. So here we seem to have some sort of price gouging. Somebody's taking advantage of me.
Good.
Let's take case number two. Let's take case number two. Yeah, because we have limited time.
Yeah.
Case number two. Chevra, we have limited time. We have to go quick. We'll take questions afterwards. Case number two. Let's take Yaakov Avinu's case. Yaakov Avinu, the blessings are supposed to go. His father wants to give the blessings to who?
Esav.
And Rivka says, you know, these blessings belong to Yaakov. I want you to go grab the clothing of your brother, walk into your father, and say you're Esav, and get those blessings. Now, Sheker Gamur, right? And it's Yaakov is Emet, Yiten Emet Yaakov, but this is Sheker Gamur, right? Outright lie to his father Yitzchak. But what makes it worse is Rashi. What? Anochi Esav Bechorecha, Rashi says. Yaakov says to Yitzchak, Anochi I am Esav Bechorecha. Esav, your firstborn. Rashi says. No. What Yaakov said, Anochi Hamevi Lecha. Yaakov was just bringing you. Esav hu Bechorecha. Esav, your firstborn. So he said out loud, Anochi. Quietly he says, Hamevi Lecha, I was bringing you. Esav Bechorecha. That's what he did. So Rashi seemingly is trying to make it not a lie. You know, Yaakov didn't say, I'm the Bechor. I'm the one who brought Esav as your Bechor. Now, based on what we just learned last week, who cares the word? Let's say he used words which are true, right? Anochi amevi ve'esav ha-Bechor. What did he tell Yitzchak? What did Yitzchak understand from Yaakov? That he's Esav. It's Sheker ve'chazav. What do I care that he fixed his words? Apele, what's Rashi talking about? What do I need this for? That's Sheker. Doesn't take the fact that it's a lie. What's Pshat in Rashi? See, here we have to understand something. So let's go back. We're going to hold off back to Rashi in a second. We'll get back to Rashi in a second. Rashi is the yesod to understanding the sugya. When it comes to a situation, all these cases we dealt with, I'm either getting my money back, where I went to an inn, and I gave him my money bags. I come back the next morning, and he says, no bags, right? No bags. What are you talking about? You never gave me a bag, right? So what do? I took the innkeeper to drink, and I found that he had some stuff on his mustache. So the other rabbis, while he's drinking with one, going to the house where the wife is there, and said, oh, your husband said to give us the bags. He says, really? He says, oh, yeah, I'll prove it to you. Because he told us what you ate for lunch today. You didn't buy macharonim, and you had on your he told me that you ate lentils.
You made him lentils.
Right, you made lentils. Oh, you're right. Okay, so you can put it in the bags. Right? So, they just lied. Sheker v'chazav, the wife, right? The wife never told him, he never said to get the bags. They made up the whole story to get the money out. Right? Or the case where this guy decides he's going to be a self-complaining toll collector. In the middle of the 610, he sets up a roadblock with two machine guns. Anybody walks by, $100. Otherwise, you can't pass. And you tell him, look, I'm carrying Trump's stuff here. This is the caravan for Trump. You want to mess with Trump? Go for it. It's not mine. belongs to him. And you're allowed to swear and say, and if I'm lying to you, I won't eat meat. And the implication is I'm not eating meat for a year. And the halacha is you're allowed to tell him that to save your stuff. Sheker gamur. Why? Why am I allowed to lie? To save money, to save face. See, the answer is he's extorting me. It's extortion. But how do you say extortion in Hebrew? Huh? Schita. Schita. Right? It's extortion. Now, where does this money belong? In my hands or his hands? There's no greater lie than me giving him the money. It doesn't belong to him. The money by him is sheker v'chazav. It's not his money, it's mine. So, it's emet to give him money that doesn't belong to him? It's, let me give you an example, you know. You're hiding from lo aleinu the Nazis, chas v'shalom, or somebody. The guy comes, where's the Jew? Hey, he's right here. I can't lie. What do you mean you can't lie? Sheker gamur to tell him where he is. Right? That's extortion. You have no right to that money. And by me giving you the money, it's sheker. Because that money doesn't belong to you. So I'm allowed to use words to make sure the money doesn't end up in your hands. I'm not lying. That's emet. Sometimes I have to use words which are false to get to the truth. But the truth is that money doesn't belong to you. And the guy's walking by and he charged me $100 to cross the river. And the price is $10. That's the market rate, that's the price. I'm allowed to say this is slightly different alakha meshate anibach. I was joking. I did it only for Yalami across the river. And if you can prove that you meshate anibach, I was just joking, which means I wasn't serious, I just wanted you to be to get me across the river, I don't have to pay it. But I have to be able to prove it to you. We actually had a case where the guy was single and he was older already, he wanted to get married, he was having a hard time, can't get a date. Went to this world famous shadchan and it says to her, come on, you find me the right girl, I'll give you $5,000. She says, I'll work on it, but I need you to give me 10. I said, okay. Lo and behold, she actually found him. She found him. Shiduch, guy got married, she comes to claim $10,000. He says, I agreed to 5. What do you agree to? You told me you'll give, I asked you for 10, you said you give it to me. He says, I was joking. I had no plans of giving you the $10,000, but you left me no choice. I had agreed to 5. Halacha was, psak din, pay him 5. You don't have to pay him 10. Because meshate anibach. Right? I never agreed to that. You put my back against the wall, and I had no choice. That's not the market value. That's way above anything. If I would have agreed, b'lev shalem, you're right. But I can be to'en, and you have to prove it. But if he's to'en, I was joking. I had no intention to do that. You were really gouging me and I had no choice. If he can prove that, patur. Right? That's slightly different deen. There's two different concepts. But in a general case of extortion, extortion is sheker. And even if it comes extorting information. Right? I just had a private conversation here with Mrs. Silverstone. And you come over, Rabbi, what were you talking about? It was private. None of your business. Right? I say, no, do me a favor. No, but tell me, come on. You don't let go. Tell me, you know, it's none of your business, right? But if you're going to get insulted if I tell you none of your business, or you're not backing off, you need to know what I just said, I make something up. I make something up. Why? That's extortion. You have no right to that information. It doesn't belong to you. So if I can get you off my back by not lying to you, by changing the subject, I have to do that. But if you're not going to get off to my back until I tell you, so I can tell you something completely from left field. Even though the words I used are sheker, but to give you that information is sheker. Because it's extortion. You have no right to it. You have no right to that information. And you have many times, friends call up, come on, tell me, come on, right? And they nag you and nag you and nag you until they tell you the information. If they don't belong, if they don't deserve to know that information, you shouldn't be telling it to them. And if you have to use words which are false for you not to give up that information, then you're allowed to. The problem with all this is that how do you draw the line? Every person in the world thinks they're right. Right? We think we're right. So since I'm right, I can make up whatever I want, do whatever I want, because I'm right. And then everything will turn into sheker. And the problem is, as Jews, we have a bigger problem. Because we grew up trained to break every law and play with every system. It's in our DNA. Why is it in our DNA? Because for generations and centuries, Jews were not allowed to work. Jews were not allowed to do, almost no industries were allowed to. The only way, and they had high taxes, and the only way to survive was you broke the laws. You smuggled, you did this, you did whatever you had to survive. So it's in our DNA, survive. So unfortunately, even in open society, we got used to it. Right? Tax laws don't apply to us, and this law doesn't apply to us, and that law doesn't apply to us. Right? We like to finagle the system. And unfortunately, with our personalities and these laws, we're going to destroy the system. So we have to be very careful. So let's go back to Yaakov Avinu for a second. Now, who do these blessings belong to, Yaakov or Esav?
Yaakov.
Esav.
Sir. Yaakov.
So if you look at the psukim, Esav was ish tzaid, ish sadeh. He was a person who knew how to trap. What is trap? He trapped people. Which means he tricked people. And not only did he trick people, he tricked his father. Right? If Yitzchak would have known who Esav was, he would never have given him the berachot. If he realized who he was as a human being, he would have never given him the berachot. He didn't know. It's clear from the Rishonim he didn't know. No, it's clear from the Rishonim he didn't know. That's a nice drush. But Rishonim lo kotvim etzeh. Rishonim katum furash. It's a nice drush.
Okay.
One sec. Oh, very good. Very, very good. Very good. Whatever it is, he told maybe he can save him. But Esav wasn't savable. Right? Yaakov does not want to go. He says, Ulai Musheni Avi. Right? He doesn't want to go. Who forced him to go? His mother, Rivka. We had an outside, independent observer who is a mother of both children, who knows what is the right thing to do, what is not. So you had somebody independent who wasn't in the story who said, that's the right thing to do. And even then, Yaakov didn't want to do it. She forced him. Right? Because at the end of the day, Esav was extorting his father. That was extortion. Those barachot do not belong to Esav. They belong to Yaakov. It was extortion. So Rivka says, go get him back. They belong to you. Oh. Well, and you see afterwards, Gam Baruch Yeh. Yeah. Yitzchak agrees. Yitzchak himself agrees. Okay. Yeah. Gam Baruch Yeh. Middle, right? He agrees. So therefore, it was not Sheker. It was Emet. Emet, who does blessings belong to? Yaakov or Esav? It's clear they belong to Yaakov. But, so what is Rashi saying? Yaakov, even though he's allowed to lie to get those berachot, he still didn't want to say words to himself that was a lie. Because if he says words to himself that are a lie, he's going to train himself to lie. Even though when you're allowed to lie in order to get to the truth, but Yaakov says, no. If I train myself to use words which are false, they're going to make an impression on me. And next time I'm going to say words which are false, even though when I'm not allowed to. So Yaakov, for his own sake, he said it to himself, not to his father. So his own ears should hear the truth. And that's what the Rishonim say. That a person shall avoid in all possible situations from saying a falsehood. Only when he has no choice can he say it. And don't make it a habit. Because if you make it into a habit, it's going to become part of you. And only when can you rely on these situations? When there's a clear, independent outsider who's telling you clearly, black and white, you are right and they are wrong. Not because you think you're right, not because of whatever else. It's got to be black and white. Black and white. Because otherwise, what you're doing is sheker gamur. So it's very dangerous. You're walking a very fine line. When you can lie because of extortion or because of stealing, and when you can't. But number two, this is all between individuals. In a bedin, in a court, a person, no matter what, is not allowed to say one word which of a falsehood. That's up to bedin to decide what halacha is. And a bedin, a person can never say, even if you say a different ta'ana, he would win. and he's right, he knows he's right, and he would win with a different Tana, you can't say it because it's not true. You have to say the truth. And let the court and the Bedin decipher it and figure out who's right and who's wrong. Based on halachot. That's why last week's case that we learned, where, Mark, remind me of the case, where you owe three people $300. I said, okay, I'll come to court, I'll collect 900, you two be my Adin. We'll collect the 900, I'll keep three, I'll give you three. Halacha is midrash sheket ilchak. Why am I, but he's extorting me. He owes me money, he doesn't want to pay it. You can't do that in a court. Let the court decide for the halacha. You can never go into a court online. Rabbi Yashiv says it's not only in a court. Anything which is illegal, any legal contract, legal document, you're not allowed to lie for anything in the world. To extend a notary, right? You know, we're loose. What's a notary? A notary verifies that what? That your signature is yours. So we like, as Jews, we like to say, you know what? Okay, I'll sign it. I signed it here. You bring it to the notary after. What difference does it make? Rabbi Yashiv holds that is sheker. Because the function of a notary is what? It's to verify signatures. Whether he knows you, he doesn't know you, or your friend is not your friend. By using the system wrongly, that's sheker. He said, it doesn't only apply to a court. It applies to anything which is where there's a law and a system in place for. Right? Otherwise, it's sheker gamur.
So if somebody owes you money, and after 1 year they say, you know, you cannot get the money out of him, you create some deal in order for him to share in the deal to get his money back by you basically lying to get your money back.
That's very dangerous. It's very dangerous.
You help him to get your money.
It's hard to say it's mutar.
Based on what we learned
tonight. You have to be very careful. Right? You have to be very careful.
I just learned with rabbis and you can do that.
What?
You can do that. You can scam him. If he scams you, you can scam him back to get your money back.
You're not even scamming back. You're asking your money back.
Well, right. Yeah. Again, what you learned tonight, it would seem like you can, but you have to be very careful.
What does that mean?
Well, first of all, if you...
Yes or no, you can't. Because, very careful, what does that mean?
You have to know, number one, you're 100% right, and he's 100% wrong. Number two, you can't be doing with any legal documents or any legal contracts or any of that, because once you did that, you can't lie anymore. Right? So if this is a contractual business deal, you can't do it.
It's a verbal contract.
If it's a verbal... If you're dealing with verbal, then you may be allowed to do it. Once you're dealing with contracts, which are written and signed,
I
can't do it. No, a court of law, you can't do anything. You're not even verbal. Right? You can't destroy the system which we put in place. Because then there's no rule of law, there's nothing. The whole system collapses. That you can't do. So anything which is contractual, anything which is in a court of law, anything which has American laws based on it, you can't do it. If I can find a scheme to somehow get the money out of you, let me borrow $1,000, I can pay you next week and you just keep it, fine.
Yeah, by saying that Yaakov allowed himself to get the beracha because he already decided he's not belong to...
He didn't decide, his mother decided.
His mother decided, which was setting up a new bar...
But that was extortion, again, that was extortion, right? That's a unique, that was a little classic case of extortion.
It's not black and white, it's...
What? If you learn the sugya, it's black and white.
You have to be Yaakov,
and Rivka clearly said it's black and white. Okay, let's finish because it's late. It's already 9:35. Just one last. So number one is you have to be 100% right. Know the 100% right. Get an outside observer that independently verifies you're 100% right. Try not to use words which are sheker. And if you have to, don't make it a habit. In the case we had of a Gemara was. What with Tana, whose wife hated him, and every time he wanted meat, she made him the opposite. Cheese, right? The case was lentils and some beans, whatever it was, in two cases. His wife hated his guts, so whenever he would say, I want dairy for supper, made him meat. Say, I want meat for supper, made him dairy, right? Just lachis. Okay. So the son catches on. So he would tell his son to tell your mother, tell her I want meat for supper. The son was smart. And he told the mother, dad wants dairy. And she would make meat. And he would get meat. So after a few days, he notices that he's getting what he wants every day. What, his wife made up with him? She's happy with him? Now what happened? What happened to her? So he asks his son. He says, no. When you tell me meat, I tell her dairy. We tell her dairy, I tell her meat. And I call him and said, I'm switching it on her. He tells him, Asur, you're not allowed to do that. Midvar sheket yirchak. What happened? Huh? Oh. The answer is, a child you're never allowed to lie to. Because a child, we said this at the end last week, a child will learn to grow up to lie. If you train a child to say things which are false, he will grow up lying his whole life. You can never do this in front of children. When you're dealing with children, it's got to be black and white. The words have to be true. The words have to be precise. No schemes, no kunsim, otherwise they'll grow up to be shakranim. No, you have to stop him. Well, he's a child chacham. He's a Jew at the end of the day, right? But you have to stop him.
I was trying to say, I went to an amusement park when I used to run a camp in Montreal. And I took a group of my students to the amusement park. As we're parking in the parking lot, on the van on my right, I see a group of non-Jewish people get out of the van. And I hear the father yelling at the kid, like, how many times I told you not to lie? Screaming really loud. And like, grab the kid's arm, you know, really hard. Okay, I was like, you didn't pay too, you know, I didn't really pay attention to it. As all my students are kind of getting in line to get ready to go into the amusement park, we're waiting outside to pay for our tickets. And on the line next to us are these people. Now I hear the father going to that same child, and he says, tell them that you're 11 years old, so that we can get in for a little bit cheaper. Okay, the tickets will be $20 instead of $40. But tell him you're 11. He was really like 12 or 13.
You're not
out to do it. As he told him. Like, and I was thinking in my head, I'm like, that was like probably the worst chinuch you could ever do. Like,
that's exactly.
He's destroying this kid.
Yeah, Chazak Baruch. Lamaaseh, it's the worst chinuch for a child to do that. But it's honestly the worst chinuch for a child to do that.
Somebody calls home and you tell the kid, tell him I'm not home.
Right. So we do, that was last week's example we gave. That was last week's example. Right?
No.
Can never tell them. All right. So we'll stop with this a little more, but I think we did good. We did enough. We'll stop over here.